Hello everyone and welcome back to the final episode of The Stagey Place for 2020 with our New Year's special. In today's instalment, I'll be looking back on what has been a turbulent 12 months of highs and lows, with a year that many of us would love to erase, but some may choose to remember. Presenting the final episode of this podcast, solely by myself, I look back at some of the true theatrical highlights that we have all encountered throughout the year, with a little help from you, our audience, as you recently commented through the Stagey Place Instagram page your very own highlights, which I'll be reading out later in the episode. The prize draw winner of the £250 Theatre Tokens voucher will have already been posted also onto our IGTV tab on the Instagram page. So looking back on what has been a rather uneasy period for our industry, I personally have made a list on some of my very own highlights in theatre, from plays, musicals, fringe productions, online streams and performers. As it's been a tough year for all of us, the productions and artists listed in these categories caters to my personal preference and is in no way a competition between each other, but rather the delights from this year that have made me smile and would want to revisit time and time again if we had the chance. So for our first category, I look back at the plays that throughout the year have kept us hooked, enthralled and entertained, with an array of productions that I have fond memories visiting. First up, we have Blindness at the Donmar Warehouse, a production which was all done through audio from the brilliantly talented Juliet Stevenson, and a book adapted by the marvellous Simon Stevens, who I'm a huge fan of, through his work collaboration with the Royal Courts Playwriting Podcast. This was the first production I saw post-lockdown, the first lockdown in August, with Sarah from Thrifty Theatre, who you guys will know as guesting on this very podcast twice in the past. For our second play in my list, I could not make this episode without chatting about immersive theatre, and especially the spectacular production of Squad Goals at the Dagenham and Redbridge FC, to which I was kindly invited to the press afternoon performance for, and was completely blown away by the energy and atmosphere that the whole cast and creative team amounted throughout the performance. Sadly, this production had a limited run as it closed prematurely, but was a huge delight and a massive highlight of my year. I've always absolutely loved immersive theatre. I loved trying to get theatre on in different spaces that you wouldn't necessarily see in a normal black box proscenium arch theatre. And so this was an absolutely fantastic opportunity to go and see something just a little bit out of London. I had to travel a couple of tubes and a couple of trains away, but it was an absolute delight to go and watch. And it was a brilliant, brilliant day. And finally, for our final play in this category, we travel back to the beginning of the year, where Canini and the King was staged at the Ambassador's Theatre in London. A production that I went in completely blind for, and one in which I recently spoke about in our previous festive episode, again with Sarah from Thrifty Theatre. My highlight with you watching it as well was Canini and the King.
Oh my gosh, was that this year?
That was this year. That was, I think it was the 29th of January, I think we saw it. And it was the first time that I'd seen you, I think, after announcing that I was going to do the Stagey Place as a podcast. And I gave you a Stagey Place badge that evening.
You did, I still have
it. Yeah, and that evening, to me, was just phenomenal. I think we were second or third row from the front, weren't we? And it was a show that I didn't really know what I was going to expect because it was an RSC show. Not that I'm not a fan of RSC shows, but I always feel like they're quite samey some of the times.
Yeah.
But this show was just absolutely phenomenal. And to go along with you, and we had an amazing time and we had drinks beforehand, and it was just, it's one of the highlights that I will always take away from this year.
Oh, it was such a good show and it was such a nice evening. And I guess as well, because like it was the first time you'd announced about your podcast. It was the first official review that I was sent there for. I wouldn't call myself a reviewer or anything like that, but that show I was specifically sent to review. And I was a bit nervous that I wouldn't enjoy it because there's nothing worse than being sent to review something and then not enjoying it. But I did, luckily. So yeah, that whole evening, I can't believe that was this year. I honestly thought that was last year. But yeah, that was a huge, that was such a nice night. That was so fun. Oh my God, do you remember all the fun we used to have?
So now it's on to our next category, and it's time to get your jazz hands out and get your feet tapping as we move to musicals, the beating heart and soul of our industry that draws in a lot of income with theatre. A tough category all round. I struggled with picking just three in an array that was performed around the country this year. but I have finally narrowed down to the scrumptious Romantics Anonymous at the Brislovic, which I managed to see a whopping 5 times this year. This was evolved around the 2 live streams and the 3 times in person. So, as many of you may know, Wise Children did previously this year stream their very own production of Wise Children that was available on the BBC iPlayer and was also on television. But they also did their Romantics Anonymous and the Flying Lovers of Fitzbeck. Now, these 2 productions I had also seen, actually all 3, I had also seen in public. So I had seen Wise Children, Romantics Anonymous and Flying Lovers of Fitzbeck all at the Brislovic. So it was amazing to go and revisit these with the live streams that happened this year. The next musical that made it onto the list was the heartwarming tale of Once the Musical at Croydon Fields, a show which I have been desperate to see for years now after watching the movie many, many years ago. And finally, the earth-shatteringly rock meets electric, the intrepidly brilliant, I must say, Rent the Musical at the Hope Mill Theatre makes it as the final musical on this list. This production of Rent the Musical also enjoyed success online when it was streamed in the latter half of the year. We're now going to hear a short snippet from one of these musicals mentioned here, with Mark Antolin and Carly Bowden performing Dancing on Air from Romantics Anonymous, which you can listen to the full track of by heading over to the Brislovic SoundCloud page.
All these years I've been weighed down, terrified that I'd slowly drown. Now, so suddenly, I find I'm breathing free. I'm dancing on air, blissfully floating without a care. Dancing on air, just take my hand and an aerial lifetime we'll share. Dancing on air, dancing on air. Down here, we're grounded and bound by.
Moving on to our next category, I am looking at the Fringe Productions of the year. I have always had a fond spot for Fringe Productions, the sort of shows that really sense the family feel for whenever you're in a small black box space or international festival with peers around you and completely embody and thrive in taking in every moment of a unique experience in watching a show that may only have a very limited run and may never play again. For this year's shows that have all come from the Vault Festival, which took place at the start of the year, it was a really tough pick, but I have chosen the 3 shows which had tenacity, pace and packed a punch in emotion and kept me on the edge of my seat. For these reasons mentioned, I have chosen Cassie and the Lights from Patch of Blue Theatre, Coming Out of My Cage by Shepherd Tone Theatre, and finally Madame Overy from Rosa Hesmantash as my 3 personal Fringe highlights from this year. I also just wanted to take a little bit of time to say that the Vault Festival as a whole was also a massive highlight throughout my year this year. I'm a huge, huge, like I say, fan of Fringe Theatre. I've grown up with it all my life. I've been in Edinburgh many, many years before, and this was actually the first time that I properly immersed myself with the Vault Festival, as I was involved in a show in around mid-February time this year. Going along with people like Sarah and Alexandra from Good Fissations podcast, as well as seeing Izzy Carney, who you guys may remember from our first series of The Stagey Place back in April/May. It was really just a joy to go and see theatre with people who I'd absolutely admired and to see people on stage who I also absolutely admired. This was a really tough category actually, but Cassie and the Lights really did blow me away as one of the early productions that I saw that just had 3 girls who were absolutely fantastic in telling a story about their mum who was no longer with them and trying to go through life independently but also as a collective with each other. Coming Out of My Cage was an absolute delight in what was almost like a documentary style theatre piece, where they were going around trying to do Killer's Song of Coming Out of My Cage and coming to the bottom bottom of the reasons of why the story was made. And then finally you have Madame Overy, which was just a really touching tale about surviving cancer and really did take me aback and made me forget that I was actually watching a piece of Fringe Theatre because it was so well executed. It did also have a run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival last year, so it was clearly polished and it was an amazing, amazing experience. And I felt very lucky and very honoured to go and see that production, as it was one of the hotly anticipated shows of the Vault Festival this year. With my next category focusing on the online streaming world, I think it's fair to say that this has been the toughest category to call, as streams are literally coming out left, right and centre from establishments such as the National, the Hempstead and Chichester Festival Theatre, churning out broadcasts on the regular online. Whilst neither the National or the Hempstead feature in the top three lists here, the standard of shows from both establishments have been welcomed throughout, with record-breaking numbers and fundraising helping each of these powerhouses stay alive throughout the pandemic. The top three online streamed productions that I have chosen, however, this year are Bubble at the Nottingham Playhouse, written by a personal favourite of mine, James Graham, who you guys may remember as writing Quiz, which had its ITV premiere earlier this year, as well as The Midnight Gang from Chichester Festival Theatre, an adaptation from the novel by David Walliams. And finally, in this category, it was The Spark of Magic from earlier this year, with An Evening In of Deception from previous Stagey Place guests Richard Parsons and Kerry Scorher. Now, here, we are going to listen to Richard speaking to me about what it was like performing for an online audience rather than his in-person shows at the Everyman Theatre in Cheltenham.
So we decided to try and help the theatres as well as help ourselves. So being brutally honest, the Zoom show does allow the three of us as professional performers to earn a little bit of money. We're all self-employed. We haven't earned very much since March, apart from maybe taking a couple of deposits for a booking or something. So, but at the same time, we know that theatres are in a bit of a pickle, really, that they're stuck at the moment. There's lots of trending hashtags, aren't there? Save the Arts and Save the Arts UK. And I think people are starting to realise that actually the whole industry has really, really suffered badly, you know, especially some of the smaller independent theatres. You know, they rely on ticket sales. And of course, it's not just the performers, it's the backstage people, the front of house, you know, and so many productions employ so many people. So again, it was Kerry's idea to approach theatres and say to them, it's a £15 ticket for the household or for the device for Zoom. So that's not per person, that's £15 for the whole house to watch. And the theatre gets £5 from every ticket. And a lot of people have said to me, that's very generous, but we don't mind because we're getting something out of it. They're getting quite a lot out of it. And apart from really using their booking systems, there's very little that theatres need to do apart from, you know, put it on their website. I've been doing the press releases. Kerry's been in contact with lots and lots of different theatres and emails and phone calls. So really any theatre that wants to have us, that they don't really need to do an awful lot. We can do almost most of it. So yeah, that's what the theatre gets from it. So obviously the more tickets we sell, the more they make, which is great.
For the final category in this special New Year's episode, we move to three performers slash artists who truly astounded me and had me weeping with either sadness or joy. And as you can expect, this was the hardest one to call by suggesting just three out of the hundreds and hundreds of performers that I had seen this year, either on stage or through online streams. However, after much deliberation with solely just myself, my three top performers for this year and ones to be watching out for in future productions up and down the country are Carly Bowden for her portrayal of Angelique in Romantics Anonymous, Bethany Terry for her outstanding energy and enthusiasm as featured ensemble in Rent the Musical at the Hope Mill Theatre in Manchester, and finally Kate O'Flynn for her one-woman show, All of It, which had a very limited 8-performance run at the Royal Court Theatre in London at the very, very beginning of this year and was written by my absolute all-time favourite writer, Alistair McDowell. And there we have it. That concludes my very short list of plays, musicals, fringe productions, online streams and performers, to which have all carried me personally through a really roller coaster ride of a year. As you may remember, at the beginning of the episode, I said that we were doing a giveaway of £250 of Theatre Tokens voucher. This happened last week when we released our festive episode of The Stagey Place, which had Thrifty Theatre's guest, Sarah Wells. And if you head over to our Instagram page tonight at 5 p.m, if you are listening to this on the 30th of December 2020, you will find out the winner of that giveaway for £250 of Theatre Tokens vouchers. So do make sure that you head over there at 5 p.m. to find out the winner. But for now, this is the end of The Stagey Place for 2020. Thank you so much to everybody who has been involved this year with The Stagey Place. Whether or not that's getting involved with the giveaway at the very start of the year for the badges, or liking our post, looking at our stories, or interacting with the Q&As after the first series that we had in April, May. Thank you so much for being involved and still being here, as we are just under 600 followers on our Instagram page. It really means a lot, and I do hope in the future that we do get to go out and see each other in the theatre, wherever that may be around the UK or around the world. But for now, my name's been Elliot. You've been listening to The Stagey Place. And until next time, in April, May 2021, when The Stagey Place returns, I hope you have a very, very safe new year and a fantastic start to 2021. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.